Welcome to Scripture Ventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasures. I'm your host, Stacy, and my goal is to encourage you with real life applications found in Scripture, teachings that meet you right in the middle of everyday life and show you how to tap into the promises of God in every season. I'm a wife, mother, writer, podcaster, ministry director, and just your down-to-earth, Jesus-loving girl. If you know me, you know my two great loves, Jesus and tacos. And somehow, some way, I always find a way to tie the two together in my teachings. Thanks for joining me for today's episode. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. Okay, listen. I need to start with a confession. This episode is a day late, and honestly, it's because the holiday season hit me like a full-speed wrecking ball wearing a Santa hat. You know how every year we tell ourselves, this holiday, this November, this December, I will be organized, I will be calm, I will enjoy every moment, I will be walking in the fruit of the Spirit at all times. Anybody else? Just me? Okay, well, that's what I do. And then it's like Thanksgiving pops up yelling, surprise. And by the time the dishes are done, December comes rushing through your front door like it's auditioning for a demolition crew. Yeah, that's kind of where it found me. December 1st landed on a Monday and that wrecking ball had hit me before my coffee did. But you know what? We made it. We're here. I'm here. You're here. The Lord is here. And that is all we need. A few nights ago, I sat down with my Bible to reread the birth story of Jesus. You know, the passage we've heard so many times, we can practically recite it in our sleep. But this time, something new stood out for me. In just the first 7 verses of Luke 2, we see Mary and Joseph facing yet another round of circumstances they did not choose and could not control. And I sat there thinking, oh, wow. They also had a wrecking ball moment, but theirs might have been a little worse. And let's be real. Some of you listening right now, you're on your third cup of coffee, trying to survive school programs, office parties, Christmas shopping, and that one event you either agreed to or were volunteered for, but you honestly can't remember, but it is on your calendar. I see you. I understand you. And friend, I am you. So today, we're looking at this familiar story through a real human lens. Because Mary and Joseph, they were right where you are, overwhelmed, exhausted, and dealing with things far outside of their control. Before we get to Bethlehem, or the manger, or the silent night scene, we've got to rewind. Looking back at Luke 1 and Matthew 1, we see that Mary and Joseph had already lived through wrecking ball round 1. Mary is young, a virgin, engaged to Joseph, minding her own business, living her life, planning her future Pinterest wedding board or whatever they did in those days. And then an angel shows up. And girls, this is not a soft, glowing, precious moments type angel. It was a real angel. An angel with a greeting that basically says, hey Mary, don't freak out, but you're about to carry the Son of God. Well, too late. The freaking out has already happened. And then meanwhile, let's not forget poor Joseph. Bless him. He is over there trying to figure out how and why this perfectly ordinary life he had suddenly turned into a heavenly plot twist. He literally decides, okay, I'm just going to quietly divorce her because the girl he loves has news that simply does not fit inside the logical, normal, sensible world he lives in. But then again, God steps in. Another angel, another reassurance, another moment where their plans dissolve so God's plan can unfold. So before Luke 2 even begins, Mary and Joseph have already had their world flipped, shaken, and set back down upside down. Sound familiar? Anyone else feel like 2025 has been one giant flip and shake season? Yeah, scene. Now we move into Luke 2, and here comes the next round of things they did not sign up for. It starts in Nazareth, a tiny, unimpressive, ordinary town, the kind of place people say nothing good ever comes out of there. But that's where they were. That's where God chose them. And that's where the story begins. And I love this because God loves using places that don't look special, the places we wouldn't choose, the seasons we don't think matter. And if you're in a Nazareth season, small, hidden, unnoticed, friend, don't underestimate it. God does some of his best work in our Nazareth. Next up, a decree from Caesar Augustus. That's right, the census, basically Roman control. It means pack up your very pregnant fiance and walk 70 miles just because the government said so. Talk about bad timing. Mary is very pregnant, and I assume Joseph is very stressed. Rome does not care at all. So they begin this journey, no car, no Uber, and scripture doesn't even really guarantee that there was a donkey. They may have walked the whole way. Imagine the conversations, and my married girls will understand this. Joseph, how much farther? Mary, I'm going as fast as I can. Oh, my feet are so swollen. Everything on me is swollen. What are you talking about, dude? By the time they arrive in Bethlehem, they're tired, hungry, thirsty, and probably questioning every life decision they've ever made. And it wasn't just them. Bethlehem was overflowing. Everyone from Joseph's line, everyone whose heritage started in Bethlehem, they all had to travel back for the census. Bethlehem was packed, crowded, loud, chaotic. I'm talking people everywhere. And just imagine the level of frustration that must have filled the streets. The muttering, the elbowing, the arguing, the "are you serious right now" moments. And when they finally got to Bethlehem and realized everything is full. Every inn, every guest room, every spare couch, every, hey, my cousin's cousin's house might have a room, is full. Completely full. This is like trying to find a place to stay in Waco during the celebration that Chip and Joanna host each year. And I can't help but imagine the innkeeper looking at Joseph like, "Sir, yeah, I'm really sorry. We have absolutely no room." And then in his awkward attempt to kind of make this bad news go over a little bit better, he might add, "But we do have a food cart out back with some really good street tacos." And Joseph's probably like, "Bro, we don't need tacos. We need a room." And instead, they end up in a stable, a messy, smelly, unexpected space. And that is where Jesus enters the world. Right in the middle of the mess. Right in the middle of the disappointment, right in the middle of, this is not how we pictured this going. Let's talk about Bethlehem. It may look like a problem. No room, no space, no options. But it was actually the fulfillment of prophecy. You see, the Messiah had to be born there. God planned this long before Mary and Joseph were even born. Bethlehem means house of bread, and into that house came Jesus, the bread of life. Bethlehem was the city of David, and into that lineage came the son of David, our eternal king. So the very things that felt like inconveniences, the journey, the timing, the census, the crowds, were actually the setup for God's promise to be fulfilled. And here is where it gets personal. Mary and Joseph didn't have perfect conditions. They didn't manifest perfection. They simply made room. And Jesus filled the space. Their world was stressful. Their plans were disrupted. Their timing was terrible. Their resources were limited. Their surroundings were chaotic. And Jesus still came. Friend, the same is true for you today. This season may be loud. It may be messy. It may be busy. It may feel like a wrecking ball season. But if we make room, even a small room, Jesus will meet us there. He steps into the chaos. He brings peace into crowded places. He fills the moments we surrender, even when they don't look ideal. Peace doesn't require perfection. It simply requires space. As we step deeper into this December whirlwind, take a breath, take a moment, and make a little room for Jesus. Because the peace announced that night in Bethlehem, it's still available right now, right where you are. Thank you for hanging out with me today, even on this slightly late episode. I love you, I'm praying for you, and I can't wait to continue this journey with you all month long. Remember, this was just the first 7 verses. Until next time, take a deep breath, make room, and let His peace be the loudest thing in your season. Keep seeking the wisdom of God like silver and searching for it like hidden treasures.